Very thankful to be here. Feel a great need of your prayers. Lord, to bless His Word. Make it real and alive to each one of us. Thankful that there is one that is willing and interested in holding our hands and walking beside us in helping us to be able to find our way to heaven. That He didn't just turn us loose and say, "You're on your own now and want you to find the way and I hope to see you there." But I'm thankful that He came and He told His disciples in one place, "Where I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And their response to that, "Lord, we don't know where You're going. We don't know the way to get there." And you know, really none of us know the way to get there. But He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've come to show you the way, to show you that there is a way to be able to make it to heaven, to be able to make it through this dark world and all of its sinful strife. I'll walk beside you. I'll show you the way. I'm going before you to prepare a place for you," He said. You know, I believe that many people intend that I'm going to make it. I'm going to go and I'm going to make it ahead of a funeral that we had to participate in Kentucky earlier this year. And was talking to him some in the funeral service. I said, "You know, anymore everybody makes it to heaven. Anymore you go to a funeral service and it doesn't matter the life that they lived. It doesn't matter the story that they wrote by the actions and decisions they made. They made it to heaven. They're in a better place." But I said, "You know, that's not scriptural." The funeral director came to me afterwards and said, "You're so right." He said, "I've been through so many of these services. And everyone, they made it. Every one of them, they preach them right on into heaven." But I'd like to look at a scripture in the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. Yeah. 13th chapter of Luke. Beginning with the 23rd verse. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able." The word "strive" is a word of action. It's a word that requires something on our parts. There's some effort that you're going to have to be able to put in. You're not going to be able just by intention, just by the way that you start out, to be able to know that I've made it. To be able just because I hope, on some chance, surely the Lord will allow me in. Surely the Lord will understand and somehow in the end I'll be able to make it. But the Scripture here says strive to enter in. Put forth the effort. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom is preached and every man presseth into it. Strives to take hold of it, to lay hold on eternal life. Don't let it go. Don't just hope for it. Not just with good intentions, as we've heard said perhaps, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. I hope to be able to make it. I hope that someday, somehow, be able to make it. I got a call in the night one time from a lady at work said, "Clint, my son was just killed in a motorcycle wreck. 42 years old, was not a man that had a testimony of salvation or was even of an inclination to go to church services. Part of a motorcycle gang and lived a very rough life, had a criminal record and so forth." And she said, "Clint, would you preach his funeral?" But, "Oh, how do I do that? What do you say?" And we went and tried to talk with the family and some of them and made preparations for the service and suggested, why don't we maybe do it in this order and trying to get their thoughts of the service. And I said, "I'd like to close in prayer." One of them said, "Do we have to pray? Why do we pray? I got something that I want to say." And so I said, "Well, I'd certainly want you to have the place to be able to do that." Got up and talked about him and said, "I want y'all to know he's ripping around heaven on his Harley right now. Doesn't matter the life that he lives. Doesn't matter in the circumstances in which he went out of this world were so bleak and dark. But this world is grasping to every straw. Grasping to be able some way to cope with what I'm facing here, with the reality of the fact that life has been snatched out before Him. The only way, folks, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, it's a miserable existence. It's a dark picture. It's a bleak and a frightening and a scary thing to come up to. Oh, I want to be able to grasp. I want to be able to have some hope. The only way that I can go forward, to be able to know that surely someday there's hope. Surely someday, no matter the suffering and difficulties I have, oh, I thank the Lord for the bright hope that we have. I thank the Lord that He went to prepare a place for us and a way for us to be able to go and to show us the way. And He said also in Matthew, the 7th chapter, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Folks, it's the same message and the same story. Many that have tried and hoped and tried to find a way to be able to crowd in, but He said the truth of the matter is, the gate is straight and it's narrow, and there will be few that are able to enter in. So the message to you and to every one of us, strive to enter in. Make every preparation. Make your calling and election sure. It's not going to be just by hoping that I make it, by having the intention, because I've gone to service for so many years, but I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to strive to enter into that place. Thought of a song that said, many once started to run in this race, but with our Redeemer they could not keep pace. Others accepted because it was new, but not very many seemed bound to go through. Scripture says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the fulfillment of a thing. To see the thing go to fruition. The Scripture even says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. It's a precious thing to be able to come to the end of life and have that bright hope and expectation. Oh, it's a beautiful thing before the Lord. But so many people have failed to enter in. So many people have started out with an intention and a desire and a hope. I intend to make it. But they haven't gone through. Somewhere along the way, they've fallen by the wayside. They've been distracted. They've allowed themselves, the enemy, to rob something from them and have not been able to make it. The Lord's desire for every one of us is to press into it. To strive to enter in. I'd like to look at a song. It's really the burden of my message. Number 383. Drifting away from Jesus, far from His gentle fold, wrecked on the waves of sorrow, out in the night, so cold. Oh, am I lost forever? Lost amid fiendish din? Oh, can there be no lifeboat on the dark ocean of sin? Drifting away from Jesus. You know, drifting is something that is many times a gradual and a slow process. I've been out sometimes fishing in a boat, a canoe or a flat-bottom boat, and out in the middle of the pond and fishing, and I get distracted and looking at what I do, and I look up after a while and I've drifted. The wind's blowing. I didn't notice. I didn't observe what was going on around us. You know, the enemy, as a roaring lion, seeks to be able to devour every one of us. And the challenge that I want to leave with us this evening is that we not begin a process of drifting. Because I can look at it and think, Lord, I'm going to make it. Lord, I have every intention. As we heard last night, my intention is right. I know my heart. I know my desire. Lord, I want to make heaven. That's why I'm here tonight. It's why I've started out for the Lord. Lord, You know I want to make it. Oh, but there have been many that have started out and that haven't been able to make it. The challenge for us, Lord, I want to be able to make it. I want to be able to know that I'm on the right path. You notice something about this song written in first person? A very personal song. Oh, am I lost forever? I want to relate the story of a man It's not much different than the story, the way the story ends for many people in sin. Came down to the end of his life. His health was broken. His body was racked with pain that he had inflicted on himself by bad habits and choices and decisions in his life that he had made. Went out to California to have his sister care for him. Far from the Lord. Far from any desire for the Lord. You think surely coming down to the end of a life, whenever I know that this thing is closing out, I'll seek after the Lord. I'll begin to get in earnest about it then. But as he was there on his deathbed in the last few days of his life, this particular man, from the accounts that I've been able to find, it seems that there was someone that came to try to visit with him about his soul. And his response to it is he had the window of opportunity presented to him. Just about to go out into eternity now. Won't you consider your soul? Won't you look at this opportunity that you have? He said, I don't want you to mention the name of Jesus. I don't want to hear it. And he asked for a cigar. He said, let me have one more smoke. And he went out into eternity leaving that testimony. You know, it's a sad end of a life. It's a sad and a dark picture to a life, and I think about that and I wonder how many people going out into eternity today unprepared to meet the Lord. But you know, perhaps even sadder than that, this man wrote this song, drifting away from Jesus, far from His gentle fold, wrecked on the waves of sorrow, out in the night so cold. D.O. Teasley didn't start out his life there. His life for the Lord as a young man, he was used mightily of the Lord. The Lord used him in ministry and traveling and the work of the Lord. He used him greatly. But there began to be a process. And you can look back in some of the writings and you can see a change that began to happen. Some things that he began to accept in his life. Folks, he didn't ask for a cigar. He wasn't some of the things that he was caught in and sin. There was a process. There was a process of getting to that place. There were some decisions that he began to make that put him on a course and a trajectory that caused him to drift. That caused him to start putting some distance between him and the Lord. Some of the things that he began to accept in his life and encourage among the church to open the doors and allow some of these things to come in that he had taken a stand against, was caught in sin, had no repentance. No repentance of heart, and he went out and got into politics, as I understand, in the business world, far from the Lord, and ended his life with this kind of testimony. I don't know for sure when he wrote this song, but I've wondered, did he see some changes? Did he realize that there's some place, Lord, I don't feel Your presence like I used to. Lord, I don't have the closeness with You that I one time had. That fervor isn't there that I one time had for You. Oh, am I lost forever? Is this the trajectory that I'm going on? The Lord knows the way that we take. The Lord knows where we are. And He knows the direction that we're going. What trajectory are we on? What course am I on? Is it one that's leading me closer to the Lord? Or is it one that over time I'm drifting? Begun to get distracted. The things that are around me. Read a story about a man that went out on the Niagara River. He took his children out, young children, for a day that was supposed to be an enjoyable day of boating. Went out in the boat and cruising down the river, and those that were familiar with the river knew that there is a point that you don't cross beyond this. It's a safe place that you don't want to take your boat any further past this. Maybe you could. Maybe you could go beyond it to an extent. But the end of that thing is a waterfall. And you don't want to get too close to it, because as you get closer and closer, the current gets stronger and stronger. The closer you get to it, the faster you're drawn. So put a safe distance between you and that falls. But this man, either by thinking he didn't need to observe it or didn't know, He went past it and kept on cruising past the people on the shore watching this man. And then the worst thing happened. His motor quit. And here he was now in a situation I thought I was in control, but now without power. I'm drifting. I'm now at the mercy of the current that's taking. Tried to start his engine. No doubt you can imagine the desperate feeling that this man felt. I'm drifting. I don't have any control. I don't have any power to change the direction that I'm heading. People on the shore, as he got closer and closer, were watching and began to holler out, but they felt so helpless. What do I do? I can't. And they watched as the boat went over the falls. By the grace of God, one of the children survived the fall, but everyone else was killed. Oh, may the Lord have mercy in this dark world. So many people caught up on the river, oblivious to the direction that they're going and the current that's carrying them. Not aware of the fact that I'm picking up speed. This thing is getting faster and faster and I'm being swept along. Scripture in Ephesians 4. I'd like to look at Ephesians 4 in the 14th verse. The counsel here is that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't be as children. Don't be blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Don't allow the prevailing winds of this world or a popular opinion, don't allow it to blow you. Don't allow it to set the course that you're on. You know, the Christian walk is never characterized in Scripture by wandering. It's never characterized by just start out and see if you can find it. Just see if you can find the way. But I set my face like a flint. I have a determination now. Paul, whenever he was in one city, it said that he was stoned and cast out of the city. And he was able to pick himself up and go on to the next city. But he said he came back. And he confirmed the souls of the brethren. He reminded them that through much suffering they would enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to have some hardship. You're going to face some things. You're going to have to go against the current. We're going to have to go against the current of this world. Oh, the current gets stronger and stronger. And if we stop, you know what it takes to miss heaven? Nothing. What it takes for me to miss it in the end? Just let go. Just start to relax. Just get distracted. Take your eyes off the goal. Before you know it, you can be assured. The winds or the current of the water will carry you away from the place that you want to go. The currents of this world never draw us closer to God. They never lead us as a people or individually to a closer walk with the Lord. The pull of the flesh, the current of the flesh, it never draws us into a place of walking in the Spirit or of walking closer to the Lord. Lord, help me to realize and to examine my own life. Lord, am I going against the current? Am I still paddling? Folks, if we're going to go to the destination that we want to make, we're going to have to go against the current. We're going to have to go against the flow. As soon as I stop paddling, as soon as I get weary in well-doing, as soon as I get distracted by the things of this life, you know what you begin to do? You begin to drift. You begin, maybe at first it's almost imperceptible. Maybe it's slow. Maybe I don't realize. But so quickly, I get to that place that I'm almost beyond return. Before I know it, I'm swept to the place and I look up and I think, how did I get here? How do you get to a place of this man that wrote so many powerful, inspired songs? Oh Lord, if it happened to him, could it not happen to me? We can have every desire and every intention. But we heard last night, folks, this is a straight way. This is a high standard. It's a highway of holiness. We do not have the power and the ability and the grace in ourselves to be able to do it. to be able to live this way without the grace of God. I will begin to drift. I'll begin to go the wrong direction. The Lord wants us to set our sails. The Lord wants us to set our focus, our determination, to set ourselves, Lord, I'm going for heaven. Whatever the cost, whatever the persecution, the ridicule, the sacrifice, the self-denial, Lord, I want to go. I want to make it all the way. Oh, it's so much easier on the flesh. The flesh will always try to pull us back into a direction of just sitting. Just go with it. Just let it happen. Lord, help us that we not live our lives just taking it as it comes. I go from one day to the next with no real purpose, no real aim in life, no real determination and zeal. Lord, help me to renew my purpose boldly day by day. Lord, I want to go on. I've always been impressed by those that were able to navigate across the Atlantic Ocean. Before the days of satellite and GPS and things that we're so thankful for today, but to be able by sextant and compass and the primitive tools that they had to be able to navigate all the way across the ocean. You know, I can navigate across a pond. I can navigate across a lake as long as I can see the dock on the other side. As long as I can see a tree and I say, I know that's where I'm going. I'm a pretty capable seaman when it comes to that. I'm able to navigate. I'm able to do that. But whenever you get me out on the ocean, where every direction that I turn is water, we cannot find the way alone, folks. We cannot find our way through this life. Let's not lean to our own understanding. Oh, it's a dangerous way. I asked our children one day, testing them at home, said, boys, which way is north? Some of them pointed one way and some the other way, and one of my boys pointed right ahead of them. I said, you got it. How'd you know that? I said, well, it's in front of me. It's straight in front of me. That's north. Every time he looked at a map and he saw an arrow, it was pointing straight in front of him. So he said, that's got to be north. You know, people are just about that confused when it comes to the truth. Whatever way I'm facing, whatever way I'm going, that is the truth. I define that as the truth. I define that as that this is the way to go. Oh, but you follow the way that I want to take. Whenever I invent my own compass, oh, folks, I don't want to get to the other side and find nothing but rocks and shoals that wreck my ship. I want to be able to enter to the other side and realize I've reached my destination. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, there are so many things the enemy has designed to wreck our ship. There's a song number 308. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. The Lord has given us everything that we need. Folks, I don't want us to despair. I don't want this to be something that I can look at and think, if Brother D.O. Teasley wasn't able to make it, what's the hope for me? Folks, the Lord has given us everything that we need to be able to make it. I am persuaded in this. I know the one in whom I have believed. He is able to keep that I've committed unto Him. The Lord has given chart and compass. Everything that we need to show us the way. Do you know what it's going to require? It's going to require that I check it. It's going to require that I take a reading on where I am. Lord, help us to do it often. Because it only takes one degree or less. It only takes, over the course of time, one small deviation. Whenever I'm going thousands of miles across the ocean, just a fraction of a degree. By the time I get to the other side, I'm hundreds of miles possibly off of my intended destination. But it seems so small. It seems so insignificant. But if I check the chart, and if I take a reading, that's what they did with the sextant and the compass. And by looking at things, they didn't measure it by things floating in the water. They didn't just trust their intuition. But I'm checking something that does not move. I'm checking a heavenly body. I'm going to check the stars. the sun. That's what I can depend on. Not the clouds that move and shift and change. But I want to be able to fix my eyes on something that I can look to, and by that I can see, where am I? Am I on the course that I want to be on? You know, the Lord wants us to do that. Not just once a year. Not just at camp meeting time, but Lord, search me. Lord, help me to know where I am. Because it doesn't take very long. It doesn't take any effort on our part to start to drift. It doesn't take any effort on my part to start just going with the ease of the flesh. Going the way that Clint would like to go. Lord, I want to see. I want to make those adjustments in navigating across. See that I'm off just maybe a degree. I want to make that course correction. Lord, help me to be able to follow and measure myself against something that's given from God, that comes from Him, that's not shaken and moved. Don't be moved to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by everything that comes and blows you one way or the other. But be fixed and steadfast with purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. Whenever I'm out in water where I can't see the trees and my landmarks, so hard to navigate by looking and everything looks all the same around me. We sing a song that says, each, every word thy mouth has spoken is a way mark on the road, leading up from earth to heaven to the blessed throne of God. Every commandment, every word, everything that the Lord has given by chart and by compass to show us this is the way. Walk ye in it. I've laid it out before you. I've showed you. Measure yourselves by this. Not by my opinion of myself. Not by where I think I am or the course that I think that I'm on. Or by another course to this world has said, we've navigated a new course. We've navigated a more efficient way to get there. Oh, folks, it defies logic. It defies human reasoning. It's foolishness unto this world, the straight and the narrow way. Why would you choose to take the straight and narrow way? There's another way to get there. It's hard on the flesh. But folks, I just want to remind us tonight, this way is hard on the flesh. This way is going to require self-denial and sacrifice to die daily, that I might be able to die out to myself and everything that would pull me off course. And to walk a prayerful and diligent life from day to day, not haphazard, not just taking it as it comes, but with purpose of heart. Lord, I want to cleave unto You. I want to make it all the way with the Lord, with fervency of heart. So I want to encourage us tonight. Let's examine where we are. Lord, am I drifting? Do I look up and I realize I've been so distracted? I've been so caught up with the things of this life, or I've allowed this thing to get me off course a little bit. Lord, I don't want to drift. I don't want to start down that path. I see the fulfillment of it. I see now what happens to a man that does something like that. Oh, a man that wrote the song and said, I shudder came over my bosom as I thought what a moment might cost. Eternity stood at the time-beaten portals and had such a vivid vision of that was before him. Oh, to go from that to where he ended up was a process of drifting. Lord, I don't want to get to that place. I want to examine where I am. I want to look to where I am against the compass, against the map, and see if I'm drifting in any place in my life. Folks, I'm convinced the Lord wants to get us to heaven. The Lord has a way and a plan to be able to get us everyone there. We don't have to end our lives like that. How many wonderful testimonies of those that have been faithful all the way through the end do we have? The Lord wants that to be our testimony as well. But it's going to require me to be honest, willing to search myself in my own heart. Lord, where am I? Lord, as I'm going through this life, am I on the right course? Lord, have I allowed myself to be pulled off in any direction, one way or the other? if I project out the course that I'm on, if you do it for the course that you're on, over the last year of where you are today, where will you be in 10 years? Because it's not only about where I am today. It's about the direction that I'm taking. It's about the movement in which direction that I'm going. Is it closer to the Lord? Has that been the direction that the last months and year of my life has indicated? If I project that out now over 10 years, over 20 years, where does it put me? Does it put me on the path that I want to be on? Or do I need to say, Lord, I've gotten off course a little bit. Lord, I want to make a course adjustment that I not drift, because I want to make it all the way to heaven. You pray for me. Amen.